So, mi sheita derech rabim over letoch sadeo. So, a person who has a public thoroughfare going through his field, natzla, so decides that he'd like to exchange the equivalent of like a tmura here. He wants to exchange the field there, but natan lehem min atzad, and he gives them an alternate route through his field. What he gave them now is also now a derech rabim, and what he took back doesn't work. Exactly like Tamura, right? You try to extend. Exactly. So now you lose both. Right? Derech Yechid. So Derech Yechid is qualified. What's the size of a Derech Yechid? That's Dal Damot. We'll discuss what all these mean. Derech Rabim. Right? A thoroughfare for the Rabim is Sheshisri Amaz, 16 Amot. Derech HaMelech Ein LaShiur. And the way of the king has no measure, has no size. Derech HaKever Ein LaShiur. Now, the way to the grave also has no shiur. Exactly what we're speaking about over here by derech hakever is unclear. I mean, the possibility is that people are walking with the mace to the kever, that there is no shiur, because also by halveyat amet there's an ein la shiur. So if halveyat amet is ein shiur, then the derech to the kever cannot have a shiur. On the other hand, we just had what was called derech hamelech. Derech HaMelech is the king's way, has no shiur. What's the limud for the fact that a Derech HaMelech ain't la shiur? So Rashbam says, V'nir Barai, he says that he thinks the source is, the Vilti Rom Levavo Me'achav, right, that there's certain halachot of the king, which he must do in order that he will not become haughty above his brethren. But the Gemara there is Dorish, that when it says, Rom Levavo Me'achav, there's Gadleu Me'achav. Right, same, the same thing to the Kohen Gadol Meh, right? Chav, also the same thing by the Kohen Gadol, that if he's not rich or he doesn't have, then these brethren, the Kohanim, have to elevate him, so he is the Kohen Gadol. So to over here, the king is able to elevate himself from that which belongs to his brethren, meaning from his subjects. So he's allowed to take whatever he needs for the Derech HaMelech. So now if you take Derech HaKever in Lashiur, and compare that to Derech HaMelech, first of all, you don't have such a limud. And number two is, are they really the same? Right? Would that be the same size? The Inla Shi'ur, the same thing in both places. So the, if you remember, we had the Gemara in Bava Kamma, right, which the Gemara here is going to mention also, which is Melech Parades Geder, right, that a king is allowed to break away, make way, do whatever he wants to walk through, and he doesn't have to turn. He just keeps going straight. If your field's in the way, right, he takes just keeps going through, knocks the fence down, walks through your field. Basically, you know, some sort of eminent domain where they're able to take whatever they need and do what they want. Yes. So the question is, how could you apply that to Derech HaKever? So the Rashbam is leery to do such a thing, to apply to Derech HaKever, and therefore he is waffling, I would say, over what exactly this Derech HaKever is. And what rights do you have? So one possibility is that says you don't have in lashir demate lo chamir kederach hamelach. It's not as good as the king. They frauds binyanim. They have seed mamonach. They have seed mamonach harim. You can't knock down fences and buildings to go wherever you want. That you couldn't do for derech hakever. That he's not willing to go that far. But he says elo lahalei chalgabi tavua. You can walk over the you know, what's planted in the field. So you don't have to go lo yatu yamin and small. So I don't know, it seems to me that that's a smaller loss, just to walk across the tvua that's planted, that's okay, but you can't knock down fixed, you know, properties and fixed buildings. That's one. Or he suggests, and this is the one that he favors heavily, is that if a person sells within his field access rights, for instance, there's a kever on the other side, and someone wants to buy a way through his field. So if you sell, one sells in his, in your field, a right to go through, a right of passage to a kever, that's when we say, ein lashiur, that the people, what we can't do is then, be mitzamtem, force the people to stay on the path, because that's not kavod ames. Kavod ames is that whoever's there for the funeral is able to walk through and go through. So if you're gonna sell a derech hakever through one's property, be sure that you understand that means that they can expand, they can fill in your whole field, they can do whatever they want when they go through. That's basically the idea, and that's what the Rashbam favors. In order for this not to become something that is, right, almost a power that's given, I mean, to a king, You don't want the same thing to be true of derech hagever, which would be an extreme form of access to people or rights given to people that they can walk wherever they want when they're going to a funeral. A ma'amad. So it comes to ma'amad, which it says dayane tzipori amru beit arba'a kabim. This is an area of four kabim. So that's the area that would be. If you want, you know, the calculation, you'd have to do it based off the Mishkan, which was a Beit Sa'atayim, which is 50 by 100. So a Beit Sa'ah is, right, 50 by 50. So if you want to, you know, if you have to calculate that, then you do it based on the 50-50, and you reduce it for the amount of Beit Arba Kabin, which is 4 out of 6 is 3/4, right? It's 2/3, 2/3 of a Beit Sa'ah. So it would be the 2,500 square sa'ah. You would have to take the 75% of that, of the 50 amot by 50 amot of the Mishkan. All right. Now the word goes, Amai Shalom Lo Higio. Gemara wants to know, listen, what's going on? Why, when you exchange the derech rabim that's going through your property, and you close that up and open them up a new area, why do you not, what's wrong? Meaning that, why can't you keep the one that you closed up? Why isn't it yours now? Now the Gemara at this point, whoever's speaking the Gemara, thinks that the problem here is that people are just going to ignore you. You're going to give the new place, and so you have the old road and the new road. People start using the new road, but they're going, you know, stubborn old people who say, I like the old way, and we're going the old way. So what's the problem here? It says, Linkot Pizra Avilaitiv. Let him take a pitchfork and sit at the end of his path, right, and block the people from going through. I mean, what's the difference? What's the issue here? He can stop them from going through. So Gemara says, let's conclude from this. That people are not allowed to take the law into their own hands, even in the face of a loss. Meaning that here he's going to lose money because he's going to end up with two derech rabim through his, derech rabim through his property. And yet he can't stop them. He's not allowed to physically stop them from going through the old way. So that seems unreasonable, because we've seen in other places that when it comes to Makom Seda, people are allowed to, right, dig din on the nafshay. So Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derova. So the answer is Gzera Shemi Yitelem Derech HaKalton. What we're afraid of, same thing we're afraid of a little bit B'Tmura, which is that he won't necessarily give them an even exchange. Right, he will take the derech rabim that exists and for himself, and he'll offer them back a poorer alternative. Right, he'll give them something that's not the best solution or the easiest way for the people to go through. So we're afraid of that. So in order to prevent such a instance from taking place, we say nobody can exchange derech rabim, because that way we prevent people from making poor choices for the rabim. And once they make a poor choice for the rabim, you have to remember that it's very difficult now, because number one, to take him to court, it's not like today where you have a a district attorney or somebody who represents the rabbim who could take an individual to court on behalf of the rabbim. If you have the rabbim, then it's hard to take someone to court on behalf of the rabbim. And number two is, right, the pot, right, a pot that is watched by many, lo chamima v'lo kavira. It doesn't get hot, doesn't get cold, meaning that nobody takes full responsibility. Nobody's going to go out there and make sure. So the problem with allowing him to do this is that if he does it and then makes the mistake, it's going to be very hard to reverse it because of this problem of diffusion of responsibility. So Rav Mesharshi Mishmei Derava Amar Min Neltein Lahem Derech HaKalton. So Rav Mesharshi, on the other hand, in the name of Rav, says it's not because we're afraid that he's going to do this, it's only if he does it. If he does this, then he loses both of them. So again, the idea being that if he does it, then we're not going to insist that the rabbim, we're afraid the rabbim won't go to court for him, so then automatically he loses both properties. Right? Who decides when it's a derech hakalton or not, right? That's a...
If he gives him a proper
bath, it'll be fine. Correct. Now, Rav Ashi Amar, so this is the third answer, Amar, ko minatzad derech hakalton hi. Krov lezeh, ruchoke lezeh. By definition, whenever you exchange a derech rabim, you are, by definition, giving a worse alternative. Why?
Because the rabim obviously would take the best.
You live on the east side, he lives on the west side, so it depends which side he moved the path to. If he moved the path to the east side, then he benefits all the people living on the east side. But the people on the west now have to work much further. Or if he puts it on the west side, the people on the west benefit, but the people on the east, it's to their detriment. So there's no such thing as, once a derech rabim exists, There's no such thing as giving a perfect solution that's better for everyone at this point in time. So by definition, it's a derech hakal ton, and therefore, in all instances, you will lose both cases. Right. I mean, there are some unique cases where it would not be that case. But in general, right, you could lay out the principle that it's to someone's detriment in this case, and therefore you cannot exchange it. So it'll turn out that according to Rav Ashi and according to Rav Zvid, according to both of them, you lose everything every time. I mean, that's irrelevant, right, what the situation is. One just says gzera, right, otu akalton, and Rav Ashi says it is akalton all the time. The only one who's different is from Misharshio, who says that's only when it is derech akalton do we take it away. Where it says, Velema Lahu. So now, alright, so let's say it's a given that he can't do the exchange of the Darchei Rabim here. Velema Lahu, Shaklu Didchu, Vahalu Ladidi. Listen, alright, it didn't work. If it doesn't work, you keep your old path, and I'll keep my new path. I mean, why should it be that the Rabim here are successful at getting both paths? Because it's basically a Mekach Taut. The whole premise of him giving the second path or the alternative path is because he's going to get back the original. If he doesn't get the original, then the whole premise of his giving that path is undermined, and he should be able to get back what he just gave to the right to the Rabbi. So where it says, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer, he. This is Rabbi Eliezer. The Omar, the Tanya, Yehuda, Omer, Mishmei, the Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbim, Shapiru, Derech, Latzmam, Mashabiru, Beru. A Rabbim, who pick for themselves a nice way, they choose for themselves a path, what they chose has been chosen. So now, the Gemara is going to ask a question, and this is an underlying premise. If you remember before in the Gemara, we discussed this before, about easements through property, that the Torah, or the Gemara believes, according to the Rishonim here, we saw this in Tosfos, we saw this in the Rashbam, so in others, Rishonim, that the definition of a derech rabim, or an easement of the rabim, is only where they came into possession of the path, right, rightfully. It's not, unlike modern day law, which would recognize an easement if people just used the property and nobody objected, then that easement gives them rights of access. That's not true here, right, unless there's a mechila, right, it could be that there is a mechila if they use it and nobody objects, but there has to be some sort of rightful ownership in order for them to gain access here. So that's the Gemara's next question. The Rabbi Lezer, Rabbim, Gazlanim, you know? I mean, what? They pick a path wherever they want, they walk through, and now all of a sudden it's their path? What? They're thieves? So, Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, Kagon She'avdalehem Derech Ba'ota Sodeh. That they lost, there was originally a Derech Rabim through this field. That got covered up somehow, right? The Derech Rabim does not exist anymore. But there was a Derech Rabim through this field. So then, if that's the case, they can go back and pick for themselves whichever, to replace this derech rabim, they can pick whatever they want. The rabim can go and make their pathway through this. Because by definition, they have a right through this field. You know, as opposed to where a yachid has a path through the field, there, the bala sadeh gets to choose. His rights are on the right, he has the lower hand in that instance. So yes, he has a right. A yachid has a right to a pathway through, but at the determination of the bala sadeh or beis din. Over here, the rabbim have the upper hand, which is that if they definitely have a path through here, they get to choose where they want to go through. It's not up to the bala sadeh. So the rabbim can make that decision according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, it's a machloket harishonim between the Rashbam and Tosafot over here, how to read this Gemara at this point in time. The Gemara, according to Tosafot, which is the easier way to read it, that's why I'll do Tosafot first, which is that the Gemara suggested Rabbi Eliezer was the author of the Mishnah, or the author of this position, that once you give something to the rabbim, it becomes theirs. That's what we quoted. That wherever the rabbim choose, it's theirs. So you have the same thing over here. The rabbim, he offered up a new location, and he had the old location. Some people took him up and started to use the new location. So Berulahem, they chose some place. So when they chose that location, it becomes part of the rabbim now took possession of it, and he can't reverse that gift. Now the Gemara comes back and says, wait a minute, according to Belezer, the rabbim are gazlenim ninu, but they can just go take wherever they want. I mean, there's a mekach taot here, or in general, is there such a statement? So the Gemara comes and narrows Rabbi Lezer's position, kusha of the derech motot sadeh. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is about a unique case of when they've lost a path in the field. So it's not applicable.
And then what happens? I'm not on derech motot sadeh anyway, and then he decided to give them a
derech. No, nothing. It's not about our Mishnah. It's nothing to do with us here. This is Tosfos. Tosafot says that over here, this has nothing to do with our case. That's the Gemara's answer. This is about a unique case of Avdalahem Derech Betoch HaSadeh. Rabbi Elazar is not applicable to our Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to have to ask. That's what you're saying. Well, now it goes to ask, how do we do with our case? Right, that's a separate issue. But that's the way Tosfos reads it. The Rashbam, on the other hand, says, no, this is the answer. This is one answer. I mean, that there's going to actually be two opinions here. There's an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and then the second we're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that argue about what the explanation of our Mishnah is over here, or what will be the explanation of our Mishnah. So the Rabbi Eliezer says that Avdalahan, right, they lost the path in the field. Now the Rashbam says, Kal v'chomer to our Mishnah. So if you look in the if you look in the Rashbam of Sha'avdalan Derech Motosadeh says that Mikom Makom Itlahu, right, Orcha Itlahu Gabe. They have a path through this way. The Yofir Koach Rabim Mikoach Yachid, right? The Rabim have more power than that of a Yachid. This is what we spare by Yachid, Shabdal Derech Sadeh Khaver Lou Matsmo. Which we mentioned before, that if it's a Yechid lost the path through there, then the Bala Sadeh or Beis Din get to determine, he doesn't get to determine. Ava Rabim ke Beit Din Damo. It's an unbelievable line of the Rashbam. The Rabim have the same, like, qualitative power like a Beis Din. A Rabim. The man minayu, mazmin lahai Beit Dina, right? Who's gonna go and take them to Din? Since it's the opposite now, before we said that the Rabim can't take someone to Din, but the other way around. How do you take the public to Din? Right? So they become like a Beis Din. Their decision is like the decision of Beis Din, because Beis Din can't take the public to Din. Now listen to this line. Beko shekein matnitid. Certainly our Mishnah. Du atzmo natanahem. Over here, he gave it to them voluntarily. Umiyu shelo lo higio. His doesn't go. To continually the fishnatalem derech kalto. He gets a knas, because he gave them some sort of, right, way that was not an appropriate way. So now, based on this, the assumption according to the Rashbam is that the Gemara concluded that Rabbi Elazar is the author of the Mishnah, and it's a knas. The knas is that when you do such a act, when you do tmura, basically, who tmurato yekodesh, just like the Torah imposes a knas, an individual who tries to do tmura. And therefore, both of them become Kodesh. So to over here, when a person does an exchange for pathways, which he's not allowed to do, when he does it, we penalize him for trying to do it, and he loses both paths. And that's the same thing over here, that just like by Avdal Oderech, when you lose a pathway, that the Rabbim get the rights to choose and do whatever they want to pay the path through. So to over here, the Knas is that once the Rabbim start to use it, you've lost it.
No, I think when are we Kodesh is when Avdal Ham Derech and the Tzibur, they were okay, they didn't do anything wrong. But if we would really consider them as Gazdanim,
right,
so then maybe according to Rabbi Elias, so we wouldn't say...
Okay, so exactly. So what you're raising, David, is exactly what Tosfos... I read you the line in Tosfos, it's exactly what you're saying. So Masha Perish de Masmisan Avi Koshekein Einira. De Masmisan Yishleim Mamat Mimona Shav Derech. Right? Shalokadid. In our Mishnah, it's clear that one of the two ways, they doesn't belong to them. I mean, either the new one belongs to them or the old one. They can't have both. Whereas Avalba Aveda, Mimonov Shachislu Garka Gabe. By an Aveda, they for sure own a way through them, which is what you just expressed. That you're dealing with totally different cases. In one case, you have a right to a way through, and therefore they're just picking which way through based on that right. Over here, by our Mishnah, they don't have a right. And now we're allowing them to pick that anyway. So that's why Tosfos rejects the Rashbam's Peshad, and that's why he said Tosfos before. Tosfos says it's the end of the Gemara. The Gemara rejects Rabbi Elazar as the explanation for the Mishnah. Alright, now.
So, but if it doesn't, we don't answer the question.
Oh, so then that's the next part of the Gemara. All right, Iochi, so when it says, Amai, Amarabba Baravuna, Amarab, Ein Alochot Rabbi Eliezer. So then, why did Amarabba Baravuna, Amarab, this is by the way, in the name of Rav, why does it say Ein Alochot Rabbi Eliezer? Right, so we just had, before, we had an explanation of, right, Rabbi Eliezer, which is Amarab Gidl, Amarab, Gagonja Abdullahin Derech Ba'utu Sadeh. Right, so that they, Rav made a statement explaining Rabbi Eliezer. And now we have a statement from Rav saying, Ein halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. So now you have a stira in the memorot of Rav. So where it says, Man matniha, lo matniha. That these are two different amoraim in the name of Rav. One amora in the name of Rav says, Rabbi Eliezer is a case of Avida. The other one says, halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. I mean that the chamim never agreed to Rabbi Eliezer. They never agreed to the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, according to Tosfot, right, the Gemara is now moving along with the assumption that that case of Veda is a unique piece of case, and that even the Chachamim would agree with it, but otherwise the Loch is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Well, if the Loch is not like Rabbi Eliezer, and anywhere besides Aveda, then what's the explanation of our Mishnah? That's the way Tosfos is going to read it. On the other hand, right, the Rashbam is going to read it like this. The Rashbam says, okay, that works well according to Rav Gidol Merav, who says that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer by a Veda, and then you explain our Mishnah as a Koshkei. But according to Rabbi Baravuna, right, who says that halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, how does he explain our Mishnah? Right, so again, the question for Tosfos is, what is the explanation of our Mishnah now? And according to Rashbam, it's for those who don't hold of Rav Gidol Merav, what's the explanation of our Mishnah? So the time am I, where it says, Mishum to Rav Yehuda. And the explanation of our Mishnah is because of Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda we bumped into a number of times. Dam Rav Yehuda, Meitzah Shechziku Bo Rabim, Asur LeKalkulo. Right, so again, a place that anything that the Rabim have taken possession of, you cannot take it away afterwards. Meaning that once the Rabim have exerted their power over a certain location, then they get to keep it. Now, what's the difference between what Rabbi Eliezer just said and Rabbi Yehuda said? For Rabbi Eliezer said that whatever the Rabbim choose, they get to keep. That's what, didn't Rabbi Yehuda just say this?
So the
Rashi have
the same question
of Ar Gazlan. Exactly. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer? So the answer is in one word that Rabbi Yehuda uses, Shechziku. Right? That is the word term Echziku. So now, that's what the Gemara asks now. V'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim b'may kanule. If Rabbi Yehuda requires a chazaka for the Rabbim in order to establish ownership over here, then the lack of the word echziku by Rabbi Eliezer indicates that he doesn't require chazakat. So that is, right now we have, Gemara says, how do you get kinyan through Rabbi Eliezer? Is behilucha, simply walking through it. So now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you take possession of whatever is granted to the Rabbim by simply walking on it. You walk on it, you take possession of it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not enough. You can't just walk on it. You have to actually be machzik. You have to have a chazaka on the area. So David asks, what's a chazaka? So one of the methodologies for chazaka is dasha mitzri, is to walk the borders of the property, right? So why is an hilucha enough? So the Rashbam clarifies over here, and the Rashbam says, what type of chazaka do you need over here? So the Rashbam says that achshi achzik is mikidaisha mitzri. If you talk about walking on the borders, la bihiluch mari. That doesn't mean walking the borders. Avbata meitzar, raising the border, v'dasha karkor, knocking down a part of it, atakeda to meitzar, fixing the border, l'chazko, d'hainu nal gadar paratz. The same chazakot that work by kinyan karko are going to work over here. If the rabbim want to take possession of an easement over a certain property, they have to do something that indicates some sort of chazaka, some sort of ownership over here. And to answer your question, Shaul, yes, that means that he has to not object. Rabbi Yehuda, this is where we saw the Rishonim qualify Rabbi Yehuda in all the other cases. This has to be done with the acquiescence of the Baal. You know, the Rabbim can't just show up, do something unilaterally, and we assume that it's okay. This has, every time it has to be...
If he doesn't object, then he can't later on object.
Right. Assuming that it was granted, there was some sort of mechila up front, then he can't reverse the mechila at a later period of time. But now we have a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Eliezer will require you just simply to walk to take possession of it, whereas Rabbi Yehuda will require a chazaka. So that'll be the difference between these two positions. The Tanya, we have a brisa. Allah or kol achba kana. But it says when it comes to a field, you just walk it, you know, its length and width, and you take possession of it. I'm saying, no, walking doesn't do anything for you. You got to actually make some sort of chazakah on the property. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, my Tama, the Rabbi Eliezer. What's his reason? By Avram, it says, Kum, italech, laaretz, lorko, lorachba. Kalecho et nena. Right? So it's, when in Lech Lecho, when Hashem says to Abraham, you know, go around after Lot leaves from him. He says to him, listen, you know, take a tour of Eretz Yisrael. That's how you're going to take possession of it. Take a tour around. Walk around. So you see that walking around is enough to take possession. That was because Hashem was happy with Avram. So that when his children came, it wouldn't be a new kvisha. I mean, it wouldn't be a new conquering of the area. Rather, Avram would have already taken possession of the land. So in order to ease Avram's ability to take possession of the land, he said to him, listen, walking will work over here. But that was an exceptional case for Avraham. That wasn't the norm of in terms of taking possession of items. All right, so now based on this, again, according to Tosfos, there's only one explanation of our Mishnah in the end, and that's Rav Yehuda, that you have to, the Rabbim has to be machzik in the property, and that will be the case here as well. That if the Rabbim, when he gave up the new path, meaning that he had an old path, And then he gave a new bet. So when he gave up, when he tried to close the old bet, that does not work. Now we know, that's the, we had the three opinions about why that doesn't work. When he gave the new bet, the fact that he can't retract it will depend on whether they have been machzik in it already. If the rabbim already been machzik in that new path, then he can't reverse it. Have they not been machzik in it, then he could reverse it. According to Tosu, sets the conclusion of the Gemara, and Rabbi Yehuda is, you know, I mean, that the position that Rabbi Yehuda stipulates is the explanation for our Mishnah. According to the Rashbam, there are actually two possible solutions to the Mishnah. Either Rabbi Lezer is the, right, the author of the Mishnah, one possibility. If Rabbi Lezer is the author of the Mishnah, then simply if some of the Rabbim have walked through the path that he gave up, it's over, and he can't take it back anymore. Or the other possibility is what? That it's Rabbi Yehuda, like we said, right, according to Tosfos, which is according to Rabbi Rav Huna, says, Ain Alachak Rabbi Lezer, then you'd have to be Machzik in it. So then, according to the Rashbam, there's actually two possibilities of how the Mishnah is read, either in the Shitas Rabbi Lezer or in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, right, how to read the Mishnah. And that'll be the explanation for why, when he gives up the second path, he loses it. And again, it's a Knas. It's a Knas that he, this Hut Brotoye Kodesh, that once you've given it up, and the Rabbim are Machzik in it, then he can't reverse it. I mean, that there's no way for him to take back such a, right, such a gift that he's given to the Rabbim, even though underlying it, it was, right, it was, underlying it was somewhat of a mekachtalot, but nevertheless, that's the, somewhat of a knas that we have, given over here. Rabbanon Atam, for changing it, for trying to change it. Something that he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to do it. The same thing as Hutmura Toya Kodesh. Right, you're not supposed to do this. If you do this, we're gonna make sure that you, it's not worth your while to do it. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinam Odim Chachamin Rabbi Eliezer B'Shvil Shel Kramim. It comes to a Shvil Shel Kramim. That's a pathway through the vineyards. Hoven Asel Yiluch Niknem Yiluch. That the only purpose of that path is for walking. Since that only purpose of that path is for walking through, then the way to make a kinyan on it is to walk through it. So there is an exceptional case where even the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer that Hiluch is sufficient in order to create the Chazakah, because that's the sole usage of the property. The way the Rashbam formulates it. Is nigna b'yiluch is derech hanata maseh konimoto. Through the hana of doing such an action, you're koneh the path, just like, and he quotes the case of Gezel HaGer, or not Gezel HaGer, the case of taking possession of the property of the Ger, where if you sleep in his property, that hana entitles you to the property. So it's over here. So the only usage, the only way that normal person uses Shvil Krami is to walk through it. So if you're going to walk through it, when you walk through it, that's hana is what allows you, entitles you to take possession of the property. It also says that Bishvil Shel Kramim is Nira Davka Bishvil Shel Kramim. She'en Asui Klal El Hiluch. Abashar Derech Asui Ktzat Lishtamesh Bo Tzorech Acher. Any other path that has some small alternative usage, then Hiluch will not work anymore. Hiluch only works where its sole and only purpose is for walking through.
In a Kerem, another purpose for the path is to tend to the vines.
Right, but that is it for the owner. Here, it's the owner is giving the path to someone else. I mean that you have a derech ashvil through the kramim. That's for someone on the kramim. Exactly. So after the kamei, the Rabbi Yitzchak by Ami Amarlo, Hava le kiheche de darituna dishabishta. So now they came before a case. Seems to be that a case became Rabbi Yitzchak by Ami that there was a they needed that someone sold either a shvil shel kramim or offered a shvil shel kramim and asked him how much they have to give. So he says that it has to be enough that a person can walk while he's carrying some sort of load on him. That the Shavisa V'adar, that when he's walking, he does not walk a straight line. When he doesn't walk a straight line, when a person's carrying a load, he sort of waddles a little bit, he has to balance himself out. So we're not talking about, you know, straight, like, little path right through, but we're talking about a little room so that he can, you know, waddle his way through the path in order carrying a load. The Gemara says, V'lo Amran, we only say that if there are walls on both sides. If there are no walls there, then it's 1 foot in front of the next. So here happens to be machlokes. First of all, the Rashbam quotes an opinion, which he rejects, and then Tosos champions that position. The way the Rashbam learns, the Rashbam says that if, what does it mean? What's the wall do for you over here? So the verse says that if you have a wall, the Rashi says, what happens if you have two tall walls on both sides? Right? If you have tall walls on both sides, then he says then you can't do anything, right? That people would suggest, or this is what he says, others suggest, that if you have two walls on both sides, it must be that he sold them whatever's between the two walls. Because it's defined. The area is defined. So the Rashi says you can't say that. Why? Because what happens if the walls are very high? And then if the walls are very high on both sides and he's walking through with the package, he can't do anything. Now he's going to bump himself into the walls every time. So that's what the Gemara says now, that the if there are walls on both sides, then he's got to give him enough space, right? He's got to either move the wall back, he's got to give him enough space so that he can rock back and forth without hitting the wall. On the other hand, if there are no walls over there, all he has to do is give him 1 foot in front of the next. Why? Because if he plants on both sides, and you give him 1 foot in front of the sides, there's room on both sides. There's nothing blocking him on the sides. So if he has to rotate a little bit, or he has the package, his weight's holding over the grapevines, that's okay. Because it's not blocking him from going through. He just needs a way for his feet, but his package is there that he has room for. That's where the Rashi explains it. Tosa says, you know, the Rashi got misled a little bit. Do you know why? Because the Rashi was thinking about high walls. Who says it has to be high walls? What happens if they're low walls? What happens if the walls are just up to his knees? Right? So what? There it's not blocking any packages from going through. It's not blocking him carrying it. So Tosas learns the other way around. Ashram learns that it's a case where the wall's there, you have to move the wall back to give him room to bounce back and forth. And if there's no wall there, you can give him a path where he walks 1 foot in front of the other. Tosas says no. In a case where there's a wall there, it's a low wall, and you can give him as narrow a space there is. Whatever's between the two walls he gets, even if it's 1 foot in front of the next, that's fine because the walls define what the space is. If there are no walls there, then you have to give him enough space to rock back and forth and to make his way through. Right. When it comes to Derech Yechid, it's 4 amot. Tano, Acherim Umrim, Kedei Sheavor Chamor B'Maso. It's the ability for a Chamor to go with its load. Amar Avuna, Alocha Ki Acherim. Alocha is like the Acherim. So now, Dayane Gola, which is Shmuel and Karna, Amre, they say, Shnei Gemadim Umechza. It's 2 Gemadim Umechza. Vamar Avuna, Alocha Ki Dayane Gola. Alocha is like Dayane Gola. So now we have Avuna saying Alocha like Acherim. That's a Chamor Maso. We have Avuna saying that Alocha is like Dayane Gola. That it's 2 Gemadim Umechza. It's 1 shear. Now, what is that shear? Right? What is it? Shnei gmadim u'mechza. Right? So, there's 2 possibilities of what gmadim are. Right? Rashbam brings either that they are a full amah, they're regular amot, and that's shnei gmadim u'mechza would be 2 amot, 2.5 amot. 2.5 amot rather than our Mishnah, which says 4 amot. Our Mishnah says that Derech Yechid is 4 amot. Here we have the Gemara saying that it's really 2.5 amot. That's one possibility. The other possibility was Gimadim are, according to Rashi, are midget. They're midget amot. Right? They're midget amot. They're not full amot. So he describes them as being from the Miaperek ad Roshetz Butav. That from the perek, which would be the wrist, until the top, as opposed from the elbow to the right, as opposed from the elbow until the top of the fingers, which would be a regular ama. This ama would be from the mipirko, right, to the. I assume that's what he meant. Is amot ktanot mipirko ad etzbutav. Right. So I agree with you that I think it seems unreasonable to be from the wrist until the fingertips. There's the only way I could read the Rashi to say that he had 2 opinions. If you don't say that, then the Rashi has 1 opinion, which is that it's an amma. So it's 2.5 amot versus 4 amot. And that's it. That's all there is to that. The other possibility was me, Amar Peiko, Ad Etzbotav would be the bottom. Although, instead of Roshe Etzbotav until Etzbotav. Beginning of the fingers. Right. I'm offering you interpretations. I was struggling with it last night. I'm just offering you alternatives because I don't know how to explain the Rashi otherwise. Alright. Derech Rabim, 16 amma. Derech Rabim is 16 amot. Tarav banan derech yechid 4 amot, right? The derech yechid is 4 amot. Derech mi'ir li'ir 8 amot. From the intercity highway is 8 amot. Now the underlying assumption here is that 4 amot is the width of what it takes for like a wagon, a regular wagon to go through. So if you have 8 amot, that means you have 2-way traffic. You're going between a city. There's two. It's a 2-lane, right? It's a 2 lanes, right? Bidirectional traffic. Agalah going each way can pass each other. Now, this is only true year to year is when you have a city. Just this, the road is simply used for the 2 cities. Between the 2 cities, nobody else uses the road outside of these 2 cities. The Derech Rabim is now like the equivalent of an interstate highway. Right? This is where everybody would use it. Then it's Sheshes Re'ama, which is the equivalent of a 2-lane highway. Right? Meaning that each side has 2 lanes. Right? Kfishesh. Hey, there's it like that. Right. There's 2 lanes on both sides in each direction. Derech Harei Miklat. There's Harei Miklat. 32 amot. It has to be 32 amot wide. Why is that? Amar Avuna, Maikar. What's the posuk? Tachin Tachincha Derech. It says Tachincha Ha Derech. So I could have just said Tachincha Derech. Derech, we would have known, was a 16 amot of a rabbim. So what's Derech Ha Derech? Ha Derech means another Derech. On top of the Derech that you make, you have to make an additional Derech. So that'd be an additional 16 amot on top of the regular 16 amot that you give to the individual to pass through. Alright. Derech HaMelech in Lashur, and this, the Gemara is not going to spend a lot of time on this. Gemara we'll see it in Sanhedrin. We've mentioned this also in the Gemara in Baba Kama. And Akones, Shamelach Moritz Gedel Asot Lo Derech Ve'im Memachim Be'ado. So that Melach is able to break through a way, make himself a way, a path, and nobody can stop him. Derech HaKever Ein LaShiur. What's the reason? Mishum Yakro D'Shichva, for the honor of the mace. Cover the mace. We don't ask questions again. That goes back to the Rashi we discussed on the Mishnah, what exactly this Derech HaKever is. Now, Mamad. This is the last thing we mentioned. The Mishnah, Mamad, Dayinei Tzipuri Amru, Bat Dal Kabin. It's Bat Dal Kabin. Tarabanan. Mocher Kivro. This we had this Gemara in Ksubos. In Bechoros is, I think, the main sugya. Person who sells Mocher Kivro, Derech Kivro. Person who sells his kever, or the path to his kever. Makom Mamado, the place where they do the Mamad. Ubeit HaSpedo, or the area where they do the eulogy. Bayim Bnei Mishpacha, V'kovrim Oto Al Korcho. That wherever he sold it to, the Bnei Mishpacha can come back and bury this individual in that location without asking any questions. That's a Din D'Rabbanan Mishum B'ka Mishpacha. Here this guy sells out they used to bury people in family plots. Here this person sold away the family plot. So when he sells away the family plot, Mishum B'ka Mishpacha, the Rabbanan confiscated, said that the family could take it back, bury him there, and use it like they did for their family in the past.
So the whole plot, or just his spot on the plot?
Depends what he owns, right? I mean, the Bryson went through a number of things. Kivro, Derech Kivro, Makom Mamado. So whatever he sold, the family's able to take back. Now, they're only about to take it, they have to compensate the individual. That they can't just take it back and use it. They have to compensate him back. They have to give their money back. So we make it into a quasi-mekach ta'ut there and say that it was bishum p'ga mishpacha. We don't allow them to go through the transaction and the family can come and reverse the transaction here. Now, Tana Banan, Ein pochtim mishiv'a mamadot u'moshavot demet. You cannot do less than 7 mamadot, which are standing, meaning stopping, u'moshavot, and sitting, demet. Keneged hevel avalim amar kohelet hevel avalim akol havel. So the word hevel appears 7 times here. I mean, it appears 5 times with 2 plurals. So 7 times it appears in the pasuk, and therefore you do 7 ma'amadot. So the Rabbeinu Gershom over here gives a very interesting explanation of what these ma'amadot for. It's on the bottom of the Rabbeinu Gershom, towards the bottom of the daf, on the right side, the end of narrow lines. It says kachamar moreh. Why do they do these mamadot? Because the shedim used to hook on to them when they go back. When the tzibur stands up and sits down in a place, the shedim take off. I mean, it's a way to shake off the shedim. So now he explains another minhag, which is, for those who've been to Kvurot in Eretz Yisrael, have seen this minhag, that people take dirt and they smell it, v'achar kach mashlichim al rosham, they place it on their head, v'achoreyem, and throw it over their shoulders. V'nei shenizkor ki afar anachnu. So that we should remember that we are afar, meaning that's a way to be me'orer tshuva. Now the Rashbam takes issue with this Rabbeinu Gershom and says that cannot be the explanation. And he gives an alternative explanation. One of his issues is then why is the pasuk hevel avalim? What does it have to do with shaking off sheidim hevel avalim? Hevel avalim is an issue of being me'orer tshuva, and therefore the Rashbam gives a following interpretation. It's a very interesting Rashbam over here. The Rashbam and Shiva Mamadot Moshavot says bechaziratam min hakever, when they're returning from the kever, ochim at v'yoshvin, they walk a little bit and then sit down. Lenachema avel, to give tanchumim, right, comfort to the avel. O, larbot sa'ar alamet, shemet, or to, anguish, pain, to express that pain and anguish over the death. Ularbot bibchi, and to cry. Velatet, this is what he says is the main purpose of this, latet ish elibo lashuv b'tshuva. That a person should take heart, what's happened here, and do tshuva. Ki chaye adam havel. Because the life of man is, right, havel, in the end is all nothing. Right, so the whole purpose of this whole ceremony is to be me'orer in the lave of those that are doing it, that they should take to heart that people in the end die, and the tremendous pain of someone dying, but that's also, in the end, the whole purpose is to be me'orer tshuva, that the people should do tshuva over here. And therefore, that's why they quote the pasuk from Kohelet of Hevel Avalim. Now the Gemara continues. Amalei Ravacha Brei the Ravo the Ravashi Heichi Abde. How do you do Mamadot? Amalei Kedetanya. We have a Brisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Berishona Lo Ayu Pochtim Mishiva Mamadot Moshavot the Meit. Yehuda, in the beginning, they didn't do less than or more than 7 Mamadot for the Meit. Kegon. How was it done? Imdo Yekarim Amodu. Right? You should stop. You know, the precious ones, stand. Right? Shvu Yikarim, Shvu. Sit down. Those that are precious, sit down. So the Rashbam points out that it probably should be in reverse. I mean, that first Shvu should come first, and then Amodu. Meaning that you sit down first, and then you stand up. It's not that if you say Amodu, and then Shvu. It's Amrlo, Imkein, Ap, Shabbat, Mutar Lasot, Kein. And so if that's the case, if that's what the whole Mahamad is, then you should be able to do it on Shabbos. Right, I have to get to how they're bearing a mace on Shabbos. So I have to get to this in a second. So I'm going to say, Achte de Rami bar Papa, Avinasivale de Rav Avyo. The sister of Rami bar Papa was married to Rav Avyo, Shechiva, which passed away, Ovad la Mahamadu Moshav. He made for Rav Avyo, made for a Mahamadu Moshav. I'm Rav Yosef, Ta Betarte. That he made a mistake with two things. Ta Sheinosim Ela Bekrovim, Vu Avar Afilu Berchokim. The Mamadot and Moshavot are only relevant by Krovim and not for Ruchukim. Now, Krovim, which Krovim are we talking about here? So the Rashi says it's Krovim Ameit She'ena Mitablim. It can't be the Krovim that are the Avelim, because the whole point of this is they be Minachem, the Avelim. So it has to be Krovim, those that are close relatives or family that are not Mishivat HaKrovim that are Chayav Mitabel. But not Rechokim, people are not close, Rechokim, people are not part of the family, they're not part of the Mamad Moshav. So he made a mistake here by allowing it or doing it with Rechokim. But the second Talut, Eino Simel B'Yom Rishon. You only do Mamad Moshav on the first day, on the day of the burial, V'Avad B'Yom Sheni. And he did it on the day after the burial, it sounds like. Bayamar Bahad Namita, Bay says he also made this mistake, Eino Simel B'Beit Kvarot. You only do it in the cemetery. V'Asa Bayir, and he did it in the middle of the city. Rabbi says he also made this mistake. They only do it in a place where there's such a minhag. The place that he did it, there wasn't such a minhag, and it was no like that. So this is the thing of Mamad Moshav, number one, is dependent on minhag. It's only done in the Beit Kvarot, only done on the day of the burial. I mean, you do it right after the burial. And you only do it with Krovim. Right? Krovim meaning those that are Krovim Mishpacha, that are not Chayav Ditabel. So Mar says, "Meit ve'yamru lo imkein after Shabbat mutar lasot kein." So Mar goes back to the brayso before and says, "Listen, now you just said before that Mamad Moshav can be done on Shabbos. Ve'amart beveit hakvarot. If you said Mamad Moshav had to be done in the Beit Kvarot, ubiyom rishon beit hakvarot b'Shabbos, my boy, what are you talking about? What are they doing in the Beit Kvarot on Shabbos? I mean that if you only can do the Mamad Moshav in the Beit HaKvarot, you can only do it in the cemetery. And you can only do it on Yom Rishon, right? I mean, on the day that the mace is buried, then why are the people in the Beit HaKvarot on Shabbos? You can't bury a mace on Shabbos. So what are they doing in the Beit HaKvarot? So where it says, okay, it's a case, B'yir smucha the Beit HaKvarot. It's where a city is right next to the Beit HaKvarot. Remember, their day, the Beit HaKvarot are far out from the city, so they would have been outside of Tchum. So it's a case where the Beit HaKvarot was adjacent to the city, and therefore they were okay for Shabbos. It was a case where the mace was buried right before Shabbos. Immediately before Shabbos, the mace was buried. So the kvura was done before Shabbos, or done benesh mashot, was done benesh mashot, and therefore they completed it. Once they completed the kvura, they're in the Beit HaKvarot, and they're close to the city, so they're still within tchum Shabbos. So there we say they can do mamadot u'moshavot, they should be able to do them, mamad u'moshav, right, even on Shabbos, because it's not a violation of the Shabbos in any way. So therefore, what's the case that you can have this? It's an unusual case where the mace is buried immediately before Shabbos, the Beit HaKvarot is within the Chum of the city, and that in unique case, then you'll be able to do it on Shabbos, the Mamad Moshav, because there's no violation of Shabbos to Mamad Moshav. Right, we'll stop over here.